This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's a new year, and shoot, we're already halfway through the first month. Today, I'm bringing on a couple of our regular guests to talk about how things are shaping up for markets so far in 2024. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, first on the docket today, Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
Yes, and already a couple of weeks into the new year, let's just start with what's your takeaway on the trade so far, Art?
Well, I'll tell you this. After the robust year that we had, especially the last couple of months of 2023, it's not surprising to see some rocky road as we start the new year. I think the good news is that the economic data continues to be better than expected. I think the good news is the very start of the earnings season certainly is showing some positive action towards the fourth quarter earnings results. About 30 companies have reported so far in the S&P 500. About 78% of those have beat the estimates. So we're in pretty good shape. But it's difficult to start a new year and not have a few bumps in the road when you had a plus 23% year last year for the S&P 500. So I think investors are sort of feeling their way. The good news is we know the Fed has pivoted. The bad news is we don't know when they're going to cut rates first, and that seems to be everybody's focus.
Well, and that's the big focus beyond earnings. You kind of mentioned earnings so far, not bad, but the Fed is the other side of the equation. Kind of talk about the path that you see the Fed taking and what maybe Wall Street's read is on it.
Yeah, so if we look at the consensus of Wall Street, it's pretty aggressive. So the consensus sits somewhere between 5 and 6 rate cuts starting as early as March this year. So that's the Wall Street consensus. Well, the Fed at their December meeting laid out a roadmap that's much more conservative with about 3 rate cuts and really no pinned down start date. But from all of the Fed speak we've heard, including today, it seems as though the Fed probably doesn't see a rate cut coming until the end of the first half. The Wall Street consensus is March at the very latest May. So that's the difference in opinion right now. And it's important to remember the Fed's going to get a lot more economic data before they make a decision in March. So I don't know which is going to meet up, if the street's going to be right or the Fed's going to be right. But the good news is the Fed's not raising rates anymore. At some point in time, they'll be cutting rates. And what's more important to me right now is the why are they cutting rates? If they're cutting rates because the economy's rolling over and they need to stimulate, that's a bad rate cut. But if they're cutting rates because they feel they're too restrictive, meaning inflation is starting to get closer and closer to their 2% target, that'd be the right reason. And I think that'd be a much larger market positive.
Big year for tech last year. And we talked about the AI trade countless times. Looks like the rest of the market is starting to catch up a little bit. Your take on technology and then, you know, the likes of the Russell catching up, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's really important. So obviously, we had seven AI darlings that outperformed the rest of the S&P 500 last year, a large driver in that 23% return that we saw for the S&P 500. I think it's important that the market starts to broaden out. We started to see that happen in October, and it has continued in the first couple of weeks of this year. So what likely happens is three things. First, I think you see investors looking for those sectors that didn't perform well last year, things like healthcare, energy and financials, the worst performing sectors, and they start to get a bid. That's already started to happen. I think that continues. The other thing is the large cap versus small cap discrepancies, as large as we've seen going all the way back to the late 90s and early 2000s. I think that that gap needs to close. The best way for that to close would be some outperformance of the small caps. Whether you look at the S&P 600 or the Russell 2000, I certainly think the small caps are going to outperform the large caps, at least for the first half of this year.
AI was the big theme, the big trade last year. What do you think is going to be the big theme in 2024?
Well, I think three things stick out to us at the beginning of this year. First, while AI was the buzzword for last year, and just about every company that reported used the term in their conference call after they reported earnings, I think that this year it's going to be show us the money, meaning how are you going to monetize your AI strategy? And we know it's going to make us more productive, but how do we actually put that into dollars and cents? And where does that show up in your revenues and your earnings? And clearly right now, there's only about two companies that have really proven they're making money on this phenomenal new product that's out there, and that's Microsoft and NVIDIA. I think all other companies will start to try to show us that they can actually make money with all the money they've spent to put out an AI project. The second thing is, like we touched upon before, is that broadening out of this market, I think we're going to start to see some relative value start to gain over the massive growth outperformance we've seen over the last couple of years. So what does that mean? Companies that are appropriately priced will become the theme. And I think a lot of investors are going to try to chase value versus growth, at least for the first couple of quarters of this year. And then the third thing I would tell you is, with everything that's going on in the world, I think there's a lot of folks that are looking for harbors of safety. And that used to be sitting in treasury bills, but I think those are heading in the other direction. And I certainly think that, you know, when cash was paying a whole lot more, that's going in the other direction. So I think that investors might start looking at things that are defensive, whether that sits in precious metals or whether that sits in some of the more defensive spaces. I think that's going to see some sponsorship as we work our way through this year. So the three themes I would be is show us the money. How are you going to monetize AI? What underperformed last year and likely has some catch up to do this year or some mean reversion? And how do I feel safe? What is my defensive posture in my portfolio?
And then on the energy front, one of my favorite spaces going into this year, see some value there. In fact, my golden pick for the year, I love Chevron right now and have been buying it. But I'd love to get your take on energy and how that's going to kind of shell out this year.
Yeah, you know what's amazing is that energy equities like Chevron and Exxon and all the North American E&P companies are just not reflecting the commodity price right now. And the commodity price, you know, call it somewhere between $70 and $80, where we think it kind of hangs out this year with an average of $75, is a place that these energy companies make a lot of money. And right now, one of your favorites, Chevron, is trading at a very low historic multiple, throwing off a very nice dividend, and has a lot of runway in front of it. So I think energy is probably going to be one of the more exciting sectors. I think the price per barrel of oil has settled down into a place where energy companies can make a lot of money. So if we average about $75 a barrel for WTI over the course of this year, energy companies are really looking attractively valued, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, and on top of it, you get a nice little dividend for a lot of the big ones to hold while you're waiting for the price to gain. What other areas or themes or sectors do you think are really attractive to you right now, you know, especially as we're, you know, in the first half of 2024?
Another place where you can really find some value is healthcare. A lot of the pharmaceutical companies, if they didn't have one of the GLP-1 or diabetes drugs that was helping with weight loss, et cetera, they were really shoved to the back of the bus and clearly saw some underperformance of all large cap pharma. So what we had seen was in 2020, all the sponsorship went to the companies that had a vaccine, and then they fell off a cliff, and last year was no different. So last year, if you weren't one of the companies like Lilly or Novartis that had one of those GLP-1 drugs, the new miracle drug, you really saw a decline in your valuation. So I think it's a big year for catch-up in healthcare, biotech, pharmaceutical, et cetera. It's one of the worst performing sectors last year. So as a theme, I think it's the rest of healthcare. Please catch up to those runaway freight trains that were the GLP-1s of last year.
And then finally, your just takeaway from our conversation. We've covered a lot of ground, got some good ideas, and I appreciate that. But final takeaway today.
Yeah, final takeaway for me would be, keep looking at those underperforming sectors of last year. I think they're going to continue to mean revert higher. I think the separation between the Magnificent Seven and the Russell 2000 is just too far to say that extended for this long. So we started to see some outperformance of the Russell 2 at the end of last year. I think that continues for the first half of this year. Also look for those sectors in the S&P that underperformed last year. Energy certainly falls into that. I would certainly throw healthcare and financials into that group. And don't be afraid to start sticking your toe in the water, because election years tend to be pretty darn good for equities.
Yes. In fact, one thing, I'm glad you mentioned that election years generally do. And regardless of who wins, often you see that market really do well shortly after. Thoughts?
Yeah. What it comes down to is the four-year election cycle of those 4 years, the fourth year is the best. And you're absolutely correct. It doesn't matter who eventually wins the election. It's once we know who's running. So I suspect by halfway through this year, we'll know who the two lead candidates are from both parties, and the market likely has a nice run up into the end of the year. So just keep that in mind. The market's up about 63% of the time every year, and it's up about, call it 78 to 80% during election year. So the odds are in your favor. I think it's going to be a better year for equities.
Always appreciate the advice from Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist at B. Riley Financial in New York. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, up next, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management and Fox News business contributor out of Orlando. And check out his website, GaryK.com. Gary, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Pleasure is all mine, sir.
So, hey, we're already 2 weeks into the new year, kind of gotten a feel for activity on Wall Street. I just want to get your initial takeaway, Gary.
On December 20th, after a romping, stomping rally starting November 1st, I thought we started to lose momentum. And since then, the indices haven't done much. The Russell's down a few percent. But underneath the surface, things are worsening. So that day really marked a point when we had that big 500-point reversal. And a best example, today, 860 stocks up, 3,200 down on the New York, 1,100 up, 3,100 down on the NASDAQ. We've gotten a 2 or 3 of those in the last week or so, and that just tells me we're deteriorating a little bit. Does not have to be a death knell, but there are areas of the market now that I would be avoiding that I wouldn't have been avoiding 2 weeks ago. The good news is my area, the growth beta area and tech, still in great shape, acting well. You had names like NVIDIA, another new high today. Advanced Micro Devices, another new high today. Microsoft, another new high. That's good stuff, and let's hope that continues.
You mentioned some of the area of interest is tech, coming off the back of just a monster year AI. I've talked about this countless times on this podcast, a big theme. What is your feeling? And you mentioned NVIDIA is a major player in all of that. Do you think that theme, that momentum in the growth in tech continues? And then what does that mean for the rest of the market as well?
All I can tell you, it's continuing now. And it's not every name. I can tell you Apple acts terribly. Adobe, Oracle are not acting well. But Facebook was down today. Meta, but still right at yearly highs. I mentioned and Tesla is not acting well. So it's not all of them. But the ones that are working good. And all I can tell you is software/semiconductors remain in pretty darn good shape. And I'm big in just going where the money is flowing, and it's flowing out of an area we've avoided for 3 months now is the oils, a new relative low, gold stock still weak, solar stocks are a horror show. China hit a new yearly low today, the FXI, which is quite amazing considered where we are. So definitely a big differentiation between us and other areas around the globe.
You mentioned oil. That's one of my favorite areas going into this year. I talked about it even in a previous conversation. Chevron's one of my just go-to picks that I've been pouring money into because I see the value there. As we talked about AI being the big theme, the big trade of 2023, what's the theme you're looking for in 2024?
Well, my theme is an if. If interest rates keep backing up to the upside and they move back above 4% today, if let's say they go to 5, 6%, I think the market's in for one heck of a drop. That would coincide with the dollar rallying a lot. If I see the economically sensitive areas and the transports and the airlines and the rails and the truckers and names like United Rentals and things like that start really gagging big, it's going to tell me a recession's right ahead. And if you saw the manufacturing numbers, the New York Empire number today, down 43%, that's some big stuff. So it's on watch right now. Let's put it that way. I'm not one to know where things are going to be next year. I'm just big in interpreting the market today and knowing where the uptrends and downtrends are. And I'm just letting you know we're losing some uptrends in some areas. And if it worsens, we'll know what to do.
And then how is the Fed playing into all of this? They're often cited. It seems Wall Street has a read that they're going to do a bunch of cutting, and I don't know if that's necessarily what's on the table. And if there's too much cutting, that could indicate some of the scary things you were talking about. Thoughts on the Fed and policy going forward?
Well, I'm not a big fan of them. I'm sure you know that. And I don't think they matter so much. When the Fed was printing trillions, they mattered. When they were way behind in inflation, they mattered, and they had to play catch-up. The only reason they would matter now is if we're going into recession and they keep rates too high versus interest rates. So they're already behind. The 10-year yield's at 4.06. They're at 5.5. I don't think it really matters a hoot whether they drop a quarter point or a half point at this point, because I believe the free market has taken over. We did not have free bond markets when the Fed was printing all kinds of money. Now it's much better. It's acting the way it should. The decision is being made based on investors and traders and not one man behind the computer with his fingers. So I'm not so worried about them right now. I think the only thing they can do is screw up, and let's hope they don't. And less is more from them. That's the way I look at it. Less is more. And I must tell you, it never thrills me when I keep hearing, has the Fed engineered a soft landing? I got news for you. There's 150 million of us that go to work every day to do better for ourselves and the family. We're the ones who engineers the economy, not one man. So I loathe when I hear things like that.
And, you know, you mentioned they aren't, especially in these current conditions, quite as relevant as they were before when they were pulling the levers and just putting a bunch of capital into the market. So what do you look at now for clarity on markets going forward? What are you really paying attention to, especially now that the Fed isn't quite as relevant as it used to be?
Well, I think the real free market of interest rates oil prices and the dollar will dictate. And all I can tell you right now, the correlation's been spot on. If interest rates go up, markets come down. Interest rates go down, market goes up. And of course, the dollar moves with higher or lower interest rates. To me, that's key. And of course, as we go through earnings season, what companies blow out the earnings reports and react well and give great guidance versus the other side of the coin. I think we're going to get a little bit of that as we head into. And for me, the most important thing is the reactions. J.P. Morgan opens up 7, finishes down, and then falls more today. So there's distribution there. Goldman Sachs was up 8 today, was down 2, finished up 3. If it breaks out above 390, it's something we may buy. So we're just looking for the greatness out there, the strongest sectors and the strongest stocks in those sectors. Our biggest position is NVIDIA. We bought it on perfectly on the breakout. It's bought in the 505 area. It's already 567 in 10 days. Our second is AMD. And there's a reason for this, because their earnings and sales are going boffo. So that's basically what we're going to be looking for. And on the other end is the Boeings of the world and problems, and just to avoid those areas. And it's just a matter of, you know, focus and a matter of us spending the time scanning the markets in depth.
And then on the, you know, you talked about the dollar. Where do you see international stocks fit into the portfolio right now? And what do you kind of see on the dollar front?
Well, it's a mixed bag. Japan's at new yearly highs. China's at new yearly lows. If you picked one over the other, you did great or you did horrible. As far as the dollar, it sank like a stone with interest rates coming down. It looks like it's turning the corner, starting to rally a little bit. I'm hoping we can get to the point where it just sits around. You know, years ago, we never had the dollar flying all over the place, except when you had black swan events.
Right.
So right now, with all the interference from the Fed and all the yapping that is out on a daily basis, it moves a lot more, and it drives, I can guarantee it drives corporations up a wall, because they've got to prepare and plan for the next quarter and the next quarter. And if the dollar's going crazy one way or the other, that affects profits in a big way. So right now, near-term uptrend over a big downtrend that started about 3 months back. But I think it's going to start settling down in and around here.
What's a big theme that you see? You know, we always talked AI was a big theme in 2023. What's a big theme that you could see coming to fruition here, or just some sector, some idea that you're watching that you're kind of excited about?
Well, all I can tell you is right now, AMD, NVIDIA, announced some more AI stuff. Microsoft announced AI, and that helped the AMD. Something like Supermicro's in the AI. And I just think that's working. The other thing, though, is software. There are some mid to large cap software stocks like CrowdStrike and Security and Palo Alto Networks. I think that's big business going forward. So, security software is huge with all the hacking and all that going on. And if you look at their earnings, 50-100% a year, that's where the money's flowing. I think there's a rhyme and a reason. Until it stops, I go along with it. As far as new, I'm always watching for, especially, you know, about Eli Lilly and Novartis, things like that. What could possibly be? Or is it built into the stock already or not? We'll know in time with the wonder drugs for obesity. So it's just a matter of what shows up next. You never know which biotech's going to come out with something gargantuan. One of the biggest winners of the 80s was Amgen with Epogen and Neupogen. So it's just constantly being on the lookout, things that show up. And right now, again, it's AI, it's tech, it's software. And until that the baby stops, I'm sticking with it.
All right. Big thanks to Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management in Orlando. And check out his website, GaryK.com. All right. That's going to wrap up this week's Gains podcast. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.